And it's Psalm 145. And for some reason, the first few verses of this psalm just got stuck in my head. And praise is such a powerful, powerful weapon, because when we say praise, you know, we get the word praise comes from halal. It's in Hebrew, which where we get the word hallelujah from. And it just means to boast, to brag about the Lord, to celebrate him, to admire him, to express everything that you know about him, who he is and what he's done, what he will do for you. So it's not about thanksgiving, and it's not about prayer, but it's praise. And there's so much power in that, because when you just start focusing on the Lord and all who he is and all that he can do and all that he's done for you, it can lift you. It just lifts you out of that mindset of, oh, man, poor me, or well, I got this going on. And it takes your focus off of that, and you put your focus totally on God, or on the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and who they are. So Psalm 145 is very interesting, because it's the only psalm that is literally marked with the title, A Psalm of David. It's actually called David's Psalm of Praise. So there's a lot of psalms that are marked different for David. They're called the Mictums of David. Several are called the Maskil. Some are Prayers of David, and some are called Songs of David. But this is the only one in the book of Psalms that bears the title David's Psalm of Praise. Because you won't, there's no prayer in it, there's no thanksgiving in it. It's just him talking about God, who God is to him, and what God has done for him. So it's like, this was, people say these are probably like the last words of David written in the Bible. Because after he had learned everything that he had been through, everything that he saw God do in his life, this psalm kind of sums up as a summary of everything that he saw God do in his life, who God was to him, who he knew God was, and what he knew God could do for him. So it's really, really an awesome psalm. Get my other glasses on here. It's an incomparable psalm of praise. Many rabbis have said that have it in such high estimation that they assert if a man or woman with sincerity of heart would repeat this psalm three times a day, then he shall infallibly enjoy the blessings of the world to come. In other words, when you learn how to praise like this, you'll be ready for heaven. Because that's all heaven will be filled with, is praises like this psalm. Just constantly magnifying and glorifying God and shouting out who God is and what he's done for us. Some people say it was one of David's favorite psalms. You know how we all have our favorite songs or favorite psalms? Many say that this was his favorite psalm, that he took great delight in it. And he often sung it a lot because it was made by him, and he took great care in arranging it and organizing it in a very curious manner. As I said, it doesn't have anything about prayer in it. It doesn't have any petitions. It doesn't even talk about thanksgiving. He just talks about God in this psalm. And of course, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's just read through it, and I'll just share on a couple of verses. But he says in the beginning, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, as you see in your Bible, it says, A Praise of David is the name of the psalm. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is so vast and profound as to be unsearchable, incomprehensible to man. That's from the Amplified Version. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day, David says, every day we are to bless the Lord. We are to praise his name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The word greatly there, when he says he's greatly to be praised, actually means in abundance, in superabundance. And it actually means to praise him with might, with force. That's what greatly means. Abundant, mighty, and with force. That's how we're to praise him. His name forever and ever. And of course, I love that verse, his greatness is unsearchable. You can't even, our God is so awesome, that he is so great that you can't measure his greatness. It's past finding out. He's so awesome. Verse 4, and one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Man, I tell you, I love to see all the youth groups and the young generation out there that are having all these tent meetings and revival meetings, and they're seeing, Pete went to one in Lancaster, and there's been a big move out there in Lancaster and in a, that area of Pennsylvania with the youth. It's called The Send. Joel Bloomberg, I think, is his name. But, man, they're seeing salvations, baptisms, healings, miracles, and they're just praising the Lord. That's the next generation of people. The works they will praise and shall declare your mighty acts. The works and mighty acts of God will be extolled from one generation to another. In other words, the song will never die. Verses 5 and 6, David says, yeah, in the King James it says, I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. The word means to speak, tell, preach, but it also means to meditate, to ponder. There's nothing that will lift you out of the pit like pondering and meditating on how awesome God is and what he has done for us and all his works, right? I mean, just how powerful is that? I will speak, or I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. People will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and with gratitude and a submissive wonder, I will tell of your greatness. They will speak again. Actually, the King James says they will utter. The word utter there, you know what that word means? It means to overflow. When we speak of him, it should be so powerful that it gushes out of us like a geyser or like a fountain. Amen? That's what it says, I think, in the Amplified. They will overflow like a fountain when they speak of your great and abundant goodness and will sing joyfully of your righteousness. His people everywhere will enthusiastically pour out the fame of the Lord's great goodness. That's what we're called to do. Not only here in church, but everywhere we go, we are to just pour out. When I go out witnessing, or not only me, but you, I'm sure, when you begin to share with people the works of the Lord, can you just feel that? It like just comes up from inside of you. And all of a sudden, it's like you're... Literally, sometimes I think these people probably can't handle what I'm saying. I feel like I'm drenching them with a fire hose. Like it's coming. It just flows so much that I'm just giving them so much. They must feel like they're, you know, like I'm hitting them with a fire hose of stuff. But that's what it means. We're to be that excited when we speak about his abundant goodness and his righteousness and his awesome acts and his wondrous works, his glorious majesty. It's so amazing. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. You know, when we think about, when he uses the word Lord, every time he uses the word Lord, we're to think about Father God, Jesus, our Savior, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's who the Lord is. And we can see all of these, especially in the Lord Jesus. And a lot of this, we think of Jesus, we apply it to Jesus because that's who we see. And that's what, when we hear these words and when we speak forth these words, because the Lord Jesus was so gracious, so full of compassion. Remember, he looked on the people and he said, I see them as sheep without. He was filled with compassion. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Aren't you glad that he's slow to anger and great in mercy? I'm telling you, I'm sure the disciples were, and as a disciple, I'm glad that he is slow to anger and great in mercy. And even not only with us, the believers, but with unbelievers and with sinners, he is patient and he is slow to anger because he's not willing that any of them perish, but that all of them come to repentance. Thank God that he is slow in anger and great in mercy. He is full of loving kindness. These are descriptions of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may be truly and with great propriety said of him that he is gracious, he is kind, he is good. In the instances before mentioned, he's full of grace. He readily distributes it. His words are words of grace. His gospel and the doctrines of it are doctrines of grace. All his works are works of grace, and they all flow from his wonderful grace and mercy, his loving kindness to us. Verses 9 through 10. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his work. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Verses 11 through 13. I love these verses here. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion or your rule, your reign, endures throughout all generations. As the children of God, we are to make particular mention of his kingdom. We are to tell everybody about his awesome kingdom. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. His kingdom rules and reigns forever. We are to make particular mention of his kingdom, the glory of it. Not only is he the king of all nature and providence, and he rules over all angels, men, good and bad, which deserves our notice to take notice of that. And it's a matter of great joy. Thank God that he rules over all the earth, over all the angels, the good and bad, right? Praise God for that. We take specific notice of that. Especially in the days that we live, that our King Jesus reigns in the world, but also, and rather, his kingdom of grace, in which he rules by his spirit and grace in our hearts as his people, which is not worldly, but spiritual. It can't be seen with our eyes, but he lives within our heart, makes us the Lord's people, all glorious within. Consisting, the kingdom of God in us consists of what? Peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it can never be removed from us. No one can take us from the kingdom of God, and no one can take the kingdom of God out of us. Remember what Jesus said? The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within each and every one of us. How awesome is that? The church is Christ's kingdom in which he reigns, and all of his subjects of it are kings and priests. We're all kings and priests unto our God. In the church, proper laws are made and observed, officers appointed to explain them and to put them in execution. Glorious ordinances are administered in which Christ the King is seen in all of his beauty. Talking about communion, when we receive communion, we see Christ in all of his beauty. When people are baptized and come into Christ and get that new life in Christ, we see Christ through that in all of his beauty. And the glorious gospel, I love this. This is by Gill. He says, the glorious gospel, which is his scepter. The gospel is the scepter of Jesus Christ, is held forth, and by which he rules in the midst of his enemies. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. More especially, this may regard the glorious kingdom of Christ in the latter day, which we talk about, not only the spiritual kingdom, both in his spiritual reign, in which there will be a great display of glory, a large outpouring of his spirit, much spiritual light and knowledge, great holiness of heart and life, and abundance of peace, temporal and spiritual, great purity of gospel doctrine, worship, and ordinances, but also of his personal physical reign. When he will appear glorious, and he'll reign before everybody gloriously from his throne in Israel. From King David's throne, he will be here personally ruling and reigning all of earth. And we will be with him. And his saints will appear with him in glory. The new Jerusalem will have the glory of God upon her. The glory there will be then both upon the bodies and souls of the saints. Christ will have with him in that state. And we talk about his power. In love, it says we talk about his power. Not only as exerted in creation and providence, which is awesome, the power that he exerted in all of creation and the way he provides for us, but of his power in working out our salvation, salvation of men, conquering and subduing all spiritual enemies of his people. He's conquered sin, Satan, the world, death, and the flesh, raising himself from the dead. And he says that we will, all his saints, will be raised by the same power at the last day. Going forth into the Gentile world in the ministry of the word, conquering to conquer, making it powerful and effectual to the conversion of millions. His power, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, has saved millions and millions of people from the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we talk about, you know, the power that Jesus said that he would send to us, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're to talk about his power, not the power of the enemy, not the power of the government, not the power of evil people, but we're to talk about his power, lift up, magnify, and praise his power. Amen? That is what we need to focus on all the time. Yes, we need to be aware of what the enemy's doing, but we don't give him power. We don't lift up his power. We don't in any way boast about his power, but we boast about the power of our God. And also of his power in heaven and earth, given him as mediator, which he has exercised and does exercise always on behalf of his church. Remember, he is what? He is at the right hand of the Father. He's the head of the church, and he is still, no matter what the world says or your feelings or your emotions may try to tell you, the devil's not in control. He is the head of all principalities and powers and rulers. Amen? He is in control. King Jesus rules and reigns. He is in control. He always is looking out for the church. He's always looking out for our protection and welfare. And especially the more open display of it again in the latter day when he shall take him to himself great power and reign. Then will his saints talk of all, will be boasting all of it with great pleasure and thankfulness. When it says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Verse 14. This is one that is really, really what I thought the Lord wanted us to focus on today, because there are a lot of people in this position. The Lord upholds all who fall, and he raises up all who are bowed down. You know how you get bowed down? By all the junk the enemy tries to put on you. All the stuff of the world. All the cares of the world. You're carrying all these burdens. Everybody has all these burdens that they carry. The Lord can lift us up. Only the Lord upholds us and raises us up. He's the only one who can lift us up and take care of those burdens. Sometimes our burdens seem more than we can bear, and we wonder how we can go on. David stands at this intersection of his life, and he meditates on the Lord, the great burden bearer. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is able to lift us up. Because why? Because as David's already told us, his greatness is beyond discovery. He does mighty acts for each generation. He's full of majesty and glorious splendor. He does awe-inspiring deeds. He's righteous. He's kind. He's merciful. He's patient. He's loving. He's compassionate. He rules over all. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He is the source of our daily needs. He is righteous and kind in all of his dealings. He remains close to all of us who call upon him. He hears our cries and rescues us. If any of us are bending under a burden and feel that we're about to fall, where do we turn to? We know. to Jesus, to Almighty God, to the Holy Spirit. We cry out to Him. He's always ready. He's always ready to lift up and bear our burdens. That's why Peter told us in 1 Peter 5, cast all your cares upon Him because He loves you. And He's the only one who can bear them. Amen? Verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Then verses 17 through 20. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Did you hear that? He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. So there we see God's incredible loving kindness and mercy, but His justice. But listen to those verses. He's always near when we call upon Him. He always hears our cry. To all who call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will always hear their cry and save them. Amen? He always hears our cry, always saves us. The Lord preserves all who love Him. That word preserves is another awesome Hebrew word. It means He's always watching over us. He never takes His eye off of us. But it also means He protects us. He guards us always. It literally means to put a hedge around. He puts a hedge around us to protect us from our enemies. For all of us whose love for the Lord is true and genuine, who really love Him, He promises us here in His Word to preserve us in times a public calamity, from the evil of sin, from the dominion of sin, from Satan's temptations, from being destroyed and devoured by him, from the final and total falling away. Thank God He preserves you from that. He preserves them to His kingdom and glory, which is promised to them that love Him. Not only does He preserve us and protect us from things, but He preserves us, He watches over us, He guards us to His kingdom, and He'll guard us all the way and protect us and bring us all the way into glory. Those who love God are preserved from excessive temptation, falling into sin, despair, apostasy, remorse, famishing. We're preserved in trial, persecution, depression, death. We're preserved to activity, holiness, victory, and glory. He not only preserves us and protects us from things, but He preserves us, helps us to be active, to be holy. He preserves us and gives us the victory and gives us His glory. That's why David ends with saying in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Praise is so important. Remember, it's not giving Him thanksgiving, although that's very important. It's not prayer. It's not just singing certain songs. But praise is just magnifying, boasting about God and who He is to you, what He's done for you. We get to do that every day. We should do that every day, because there is such amazing power in that. And most of all, God loves it. He loves when we praise Him. He loves the fact that we really know Him and we know who He is. We know what He can do. We know what He will do for us. And we speak those words out to Him. It's just very powerful. Praising God should be our daily blessing, our daily work. Why? Because God blesses us every single day. Constantly, over and over. His greatness and goodness cannot be comprehended. And when we've said what we can in praising Him, there's a whole lot more to be said. Amen. So we pray, precious Lord, fill our souls with yourself. It's our earnest desire of our hearts, rather living, dying to all eternity, that our mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, that we will bless you now and thank God for the promise of eternity. We get to bless you forever. Lord, we declare and we thank you that you are everything to us and a whole lot more that David taught us in this psalm. That your greatness is beyond discovery. That your mighty acts, you do mighty acts for each generation. That you are full of majestic, glorious splendor. And Lord, we know that you do all inspiring deeds. We declare that you still do signs and wonders and miracles. That you are righteous, that you are so kind and loving kindness and merciful and patient and compassionate. Thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. And we declare that you rule. Jesus Christ, Father God, you've given Jesus the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father, and that his kingdom, your kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. Thank you that you take care of all of our daily needs, that you remain close to us. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our cries and you always save us. Thank you for preserving us, watching over us, and protecting us. Fill us with your praise, Lord. Fill us with your praise. And now help us, Lord, as we continue to praise you and to enter into prayer, Lord, to break down any strongholds, any lies of the enemy, Lord, and to lift you up high. We want to see you lifted high, Jesus, in this place, in our hearts. Let us see great breakthroughs today. For ourselves, for the members of this congregation, for the church worldwide, and especially for our nation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.